नारायणम् वाचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे हरे
follow, bribe the guards, be careful, right? Don't speak too much, keep your secrets, find out your absolute time. So unless we know that entire process of escaping the jail, there is no way of just desiring to escape the jail. We have to understand how to escape the jail, and just understanding just a map is not going to get out of jail. The map has to be followed. There has to be there is a process for getting out. So Kapila Muni is explaining this to his mother. Now, what he has done up until now, he has explained the fact that there is a spiritual world, there is a material world. There are two different worlds. Different spiritual world is called as Vaikuntha, material world is called as Mrityuloka. So he has already explained to her. He has said the Supreme Personality of Godhead resides in the spiritual world. And he explains to her why the Supreme Personality of Godhead created the material world in the first place. That is because he says that the soul, which is what we all are, we know by now that we are not this body, the soul, which is what we all are, is eternally resident of the spiritual world. However, the characteristic of the soul is that the soul is susceptible or vulnerable to fall down, because the soul is tathashta lakshan. The soul belongs to the marginal potency of the Lord. So the soul always has a choice, either to serve the Lord or to enjoy material energy. Because the soul, the Lord gives the soul the freedom of choice to enjoy material energy or serve them. He also gives the facility to serve them or to enjoy material energy. Depends on what you want. However, the position of God is already taken. So therefore, there is no competition for that position by any of us. There is only one God, and that position is taken. But still we all want to be gods in our own right. Therefore, the Lord says, it is not possible. But still, because you have a desire, I will give you a place where you will think you are the controller, you are the doer, you are the enjoyer, and you will think I am a self-made man, and because of my abilities I am doing very well. So he has to create this illusion for us. Just like, for example, if a small baby wants to drive a car, the small baby cannot drive a car because it can't drive a car. You have to be 18 years old to drive a car. But still the child is insisting and crying and throwing his hands and like, no, I want to be in control of the car. Why only my father is driving the car? Right? So therefore, the father takes the child to a crown casino and gives an illusory $2 experience where you put the thing in a machine and the child thinks that the child is driving the car. That is called as an illusory experience. But at the end of the day, the child is completely convinced and it is telling his parents that I have driven this car, my dear father. I went so many times, came through, I just do so all those things. And that's exactly what Lord knows we are also made up of that. So we want to be the controller. So he is giving us an illusory experience in this material world, thinking that we are the doers. So Lord Kapildev is explaining how this whole setup the Lord is doing, how he is going about creating this illusion. So he talks about Pradhan. Pradhan is the primeval cosmic substance which comes from Brahman. Brahman is the substance of all substance. Brahman is the origin of matter. Brahman is spirit itself. So Kapila Muni has already explained to his mother that from Brahman comes Pradhan, the primeval cosmic substance. Then when Pradhan is agitated by the Lord's glance, it becomes Mahatattva. And that Mahatattva then manifests itself into the 24 elements, which we discussed in the previous classes. Right? Now, specifically in this section, the subtle body is being discussed. So we all know that out of the 24 material elements which are created to keep all of us in illusion in this material world, there are the gross elements and then there are the subtle elements. The gross elements are the Panchabhuta Mahatattva: earth, water, fire, air and ether. Now the three gross elements which also keep us bound in this material world are false ego, mind and intelligence. The reason I am saying that is it is in that sequence that Kapila Muni is explaining to his mother. So in the previous verse, yesterday which Anirudh Prabhu had lectured on, and the day before, he starts explaining false ego to his mother. This false ego is the root manifestation of our desire to enjoy separately from the Lord. False ego, true ego is what? True ego means Jivera Swarupa Hoy Nityara Krishna Das. True ego means that whoever we are all servants of Lord. We are all subordinated to Godhead. That is true ego. That is our original identity. But we are not happy in that identity. We want to become gods. Therefore, we have to get a false ego, thinking that you are the controller, you are the enjoyer. Otherwise, without that false ego, how can we think we are God? So therefore, the Lord gives this false ego to us. That is the first thing he puts into this material world. And then he injects the souls who want to enjoy separately. So the soul now gets covered with the false ego, thinking I am the proprietor, I am the enjoyer, I am the doer. So that is also called as ahankar. That is false ego. Now, this false ego starts interacting with another thing that Lord puts into this material world, which is called as the three modes of material nature. Because there are, if we take any living entity in this material world, some people are called as, call themselves as good men, right? Some people call them as passionate men, and some people call them as bad men. Michael Jackson called himself as, I am bad. There was a song like that. So, many people like to call them, yes, I am devil, I am bad. If you see the interviews of, you know, hard work, they say, yes, I am bad. What can you do? I am a bad man. So, some people like to affiliate themselves. Like, I am that section of society who is going to rebel against everyone. Like, like for example, my son was seeing the story of Pablo Escobar, who is the drug lord of Colombia many years back. He ruled the whole drug industry. So, this Pablo Escobar was such a vicious person. He will do anything for making money. Anything. Okay. In fact, he made an airline crash with so many people killed just because to promote his drug dealing interests. Absolute ruthless death. And when he was killed by the cops, his mother gives an interview, my son was a good man. When Pablo Escobar himself got an interest. So, this is the... So people do not have any parameters of understanding what is good, bad and passionate. So everyone thinks he is good or he is near and whoever they love are good. So no one knows what is being good. There is no reference point of what is good. That day, for example, in office, we were discussing something and one colleague of mine was asking me something. She is also a manager in wherever I work. So she was telling me about how to be happy in life. About some spiritual... So, in comes another fellow. He is the smart man. With the half knowledge. He comes. And then he says, yeah, I just believe in being a good man. I believe being good. God and all is fine. You have to be a good man. I believe I should do good to others. Then obviously my question to him is, who is deciding whether your actions are good or bad? You are only self-certifying yourself. Suppose I am a self-certified expert. Somebody else has to certify me. There has to be some reference point with which you are compared to. Somewhere it must have been defined what is being good. So there is no, it's just whatever is saying. In my heart, I know it. This is called as Manasya Raja. Or mind itself is a Raja. The problem is, that is the subject matter here, which Kapila Muni is cautioning his mother. He said, don't trust your mind. Your mind will always give you congratulatory messages that you are the best incarnation on earth. Your mind will never tell you if there is something wrong. That is how the mind traps us in this material world. It tells us that you are the best man. You are such a nice fellow. You be like this only. I will raid you nicely. I will keep you firmly into this material world. So therefore, this is how the three modes of material nature act. So some people, they are living in this material world thinking that I am the best. I don't go into anybody's problems. The goal of life is to just not... किसी के वांधे में नहीं पड़ेगा इन तमिल सॉरी इन हिंदी दे से डोंट गेट इनटू एनीवनस प्रॉब्लम जस्ट बी अ गुड मैन दैट्स ऑल जस्ट डू गुड इफ सम ब्लाइंड मैन इज कमिंग आई कैन हेल्प यू क्रॉस द रोड इनफ दैट्स गुड इनफ गुड मैन गिव सम डोनेशन टू सम हॉस्पिटल दैट्स ऑल सो दिस इज हाउ द मोड ऑफ एंड देन आफ्टर दैट दे फील वेरी सैटिस्फाइड आई एम अ गुड मैन आई हैव लिव्ड अ गुड लाइफ एंड देन देयर आर अदर्स हु आर इन द मोड ऑफ पैशन लाइक दैट डे इन द इवनिंग I was in a management strategy meeting, okay, wherever I work, okay. So, we had a workshop. So, somebody brought this Maslow's theory of hierarchical needs. The whole idea was how do we improve our services. So, let us decide a strategy because our CEO is coming next month. So, it was a 2.5 hour workshop. So, I saw different things. Maslow, everyone knows Maslow's theory of hierarchical needs. Food, shelter, clothing. If that is meant, then they want the next thing. Then house and car, whatever. So it ends in self-actualization. So almost everyone in the group is convinced that the goal of life is to work very hard and enjoy it, make money. Everyone in the group is convinced. That is the goal of life. No one has any other idea or any understanding of goal of life. But the beauty was that one out of such person is talking about self-actualization. So I was interested in knowing what is his view. This person was a consultant who was presenting self-actualization. So, like a guru, he came across and said, but ultimately it is self-actualization. I wondered, what is he going to speak? I said, can you give an example? Some people ask. He said, for example, let us say, if we are a bank, how it services its customers. So if a bank gives a camera to its customers, free camera, and using that camera, if the customer gets memories of his life and puts it on Facebook or something like that, then the customer wins self-actualization. I have never heard a ridiculous experience. Absolutely no idea about anything people talk, and everyone is in awe. Where is Srimad Bhagavatam? What is self-actualization? What is it talking about? Absolutely no correlation. Anything goes, as long as you can put some fancy words in this world and impress the innocent public who don't know anything anywhere. Then you are come across as a very knowledgeable man in this world. So self-actualization or self-realization are very loosely coined words. But the truth is that the entire room is filled with people in the mode of passion, including myself. I was also there. So how can I extricate myself from that? So we all have different levels of mode of passion. Mode of passion means the idea is that work very hard and enjoy the results of that and prove to the world that I am a successful man. That is not the goal of life. So that is mode of passion. And then the mode of ignorance. Other people say everyone is working anyway, let me relax. So I will take drugs and I will sleep. Anyway, government is giving doles here. What is the need to work? So, these are the three ways in which three modes of material nature bind us. So a combination of false ego and the three modes of material nature gives us these kind of thoughts and keeps us in this material world forever. So therefore, Kapila Muni is now explaining to his mother that if you have to get out of this material world, you have to get out of the three modes of material nature first and come to the platform of Vishuddha Sattva or the pure mode of goodness. And three things come in between you. What are those three things? Your own false ego, your own mind, and your contaminated material intelligence. These three things come in the way of you. So now, he is explaining to his mother, how does the mind work? So he is saying, from the false ego of goodness, another transformation takes place. From this evolves the mind, whose thoughts and reflections give rise to desires. So, we will discuss, to begin with, some of the characteristics of the mind. And then we will go on to discuss the relationship of mind with intelligence. Okay. Then we will talk about what challenges our mind gives us and how to increase our control over our mind. And then we will talk about the conclusion on what stops us and what are some of the wise advice that the sages have given us in terms of controlling the mind. So that will be the theme of today's class. So, to begin with, what are the characteristics, important characteristics of the mind? The first thing is that the mind is real. Okay? So, this is not, when we say, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, the world is false. The world is not false. The world is real. But the world is illusory. Illusion also has got a reality. Does it make sense? I'll give you a simple example. When you are going into a cinema theater, there is a projector which is there, which is projecting the movie on the screen. And then everyone is crying. The hero died, the villain died, the hero's mother has got some ailment and everyone is crying. You know? The heroine has left the hero. You know? But at the end of the day, nothing has happened. You are in a theater. Nobody has been. The hero is somewhere partying after the success of the movie. And you and I are crying. Right? So we are going through an illusion process, that which has never happened, that which is not real. But the fact that that illusion is there is real. Does it make sense? So therefore we have to understand that the mind is real. But the illusions or projections that are created by the mind are illusion. That is not real. So that is one aspect of the mind we need to understand. The second is, the mind is factually one of the eight elements. Gross and subtle, if you put, the mind is one of the eight elements and the mind makes all the seven work very nicely. Earth, water, fire, all the combinations, intelligence, the mind drives everything. It
It's like a center hub, if you like.
The Lord also said that in Bhagavad Gita, Bhumi Apo Naravai. He says, eight material elements. So mind is material, it is not spiritual. That is the second characteristic of the mind. It is just that it is subtle in its nature. It's not as gross as earth is. Earth you can touch. You can't touch your mind. So that's why it's called as a subtle element. Now, the interesting part, many times people get confused with this, that we hear that the mind is born of the mode of
goodness.
Now, how is that possible? Right? Because is it not the mind which traps us in this material world? So how is the mind born in the mode of goodness? So, Subhadra Swami has clarified it very nicely in one sentence. He says that there are three modes of material nature. The mode of passion is all about creation. The mode of ignorance is all about destruction. But what is it? Which mode is the one that maintains?
Goodness.
The mode of goodness. And that explanation was very clear, at least for me. He says, the mind is the one which maintains you in this material world. And that is why it is called as mind is in the mode of goodness. The way we discuss, no? Giving you congratulatory messages always, no? It helps you maintain yourself nicely. But the mind also, if we make it a friend, and we talk about it later, mana eva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayata. The mind itself helps you maintain yourself in this material world. But the same mind, because in the mode of goodness, if it is doubted with the super soul, then such a mind becomes the reason for your deliverance as well. So, our mind can be our friend or our enemy, whichever way we look at it. So, Maharaj says that since the mind is a product of the mode of goodness, if it is fixed upon the Lord of the mind, which is Aniruddha, then the mind can be changed. The contaminated mind can become a Krishna conscious or a devotee's mind. So, the essential point here is maintenance. The mind is one which maintains our material existence, the mode of goodness. The body doesn't maintain this. We maintain the body, if you see. But the mind maintains this. You see, that's what he explained very clearly. The body doesn't keep us here. In fact, we have to do a lot of work to keep us inside this body. For example, going to office on Monday. Otherwise, we can't maintain this body. Right? So, we have to do a lot of things. We have to stay away from traffic. We have to eat regularly. We have to exercise. We have to mind our cholesterol. So, we maintain our body, but our mind maintains us in this material world. So, there are three aspects which are given, which help us dovetail our mind in the ascending order. The first one is the Vedic aspect. If we have to deliver our mind, so one can take shelter of the Vedas. Higher than that is taking shelter of Pancharatriki Vidhi. Higher than that is taking shelter of Bhagavad Dharma. So these are the three aspects of delivering the mind. So it is said that the mind may or may not accept that the Lord is supreme. Originally the mind may not accept that the Lord is supreme. For me, because I come from a Tamilian ideal family, for me Lord Murugan was the supreme personality of God initially. Of course, because I come from Bombay, Sai Baba was also the supreme personality of God. Because Lord Ganesh helped me pass my engineering somehow, then he was also the supreme personality of God. So we have no idea of who is Bhagavan. We are driven by what our family tells us and what our tradition tells us. But we have to understand, we are neither Tamilian nor we are Malayalam nor we are Australian nor we are Croatian or whatever. The basic idea is we are spirit soul. In this lifetime, we have been born in a particular state. We are speaking a particular language. In our family, whoever is advising on spiritual realization or whoever is advising us in spirituality or religion, we have to ask them, have you read the scriptures? Most likely, what is the answer you will get? Or they will say, don't worry, all that is for old age. you work very hard now. Make your savings. Old age, they care. Who knows whether we are going to live in old age? For example, last week, I lost my very close aunt. She was nicely having food in house. My father's sister. Okay, she was having food in at home. Nice, no problem. Everything was going well. Kamali, the servant maid came and she was making plans. And she had a sneezing, some cold. And then after some time sneezing, suddenly became wheezing.
Only 1 hour.
1 hour. Clock to clock. She said, I'm feeling discomfort, dizzy. Some discomfort, right? She can't explain because she was diabetic, asymptomatic. Son said that I'll take you to the doctor. Let's call an ambulance. He said, ambulance? No, I'm okay. I climbed down and go. Climbed down, sat in the own family car, called the driver. By the time they go to the hospital, lay on the thing, hospital said, one. Okay, all in 1 hour. Okay. So that is the nature of this material world. We don't know when we will die. So therefore, we cannot postpone the subject matter saying it has to be done in old age. The whole idea of this material body has been given to us. This is the last chance we have for self-realization. If we waste this human form of life simply in working very hard to enjoy this material world, then we don't deserve another human body, because that working very hard and enjoying even donkey does. So we don't need a human body. So these basics the Vedas give us. So we have to understand. So initially the mind may or may not accept who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But at least the mind knows, initially the person who is new to bhakti, he at least by studying the Vedas knows that there is an upward direction. That this material world is not a very happy place. At least any intelligent man will conclude that. In this material world we cannot be happy. So he takes shelter of the Vedas. Now, if we have to escape this material world, obviously we cannot ask our grandfather and grandmother unless they have studied the scriptures. Most likely they haven't. Right? So they can't guide us. So, by studying the Vedas, at least we come to know there is a neutral authority. Vedas is the song of God, through which we will understand how to get out of this jail and the higher aspects of spirituality. So, having understood this authority, one also starts accepting that if I have to be progressive in my evolution, then I must somehow succumb to this authority, and so that I can at least become in better control of my life and I can enjoy. If not in this material world, at least I can go to the heavenly planets and enjoy for a longer time. So some idea of such enjoyment you get from the Vedas, which helps you control your mind to the extent that you have understood that this material world will not give me enjoyment. In this earthly planet, heavenly planets may give more enjoyment. At least that knowledge you will get from the Vedas, if you haven't still understood the Samam Bona, right? However, when we study Pancharatrika Vidhi, then we will actually understand that the Lord is the center of all activities and we can never be the enjoyers. Even if we go to the heavenly planet, Swarga Loka, that enjoyment is also temporary in nature. When our karmic bank balance runs out, we have to come back into this material world. So therefore, now when we go to Pancharatrika Vidhi from Vedas, the mind starts appreciating that the Lord is the center of all activities. But we also understand that though we know that the Lord is the center of all activities, our mind does not flow to that Lord. We still only have knowledge. Our mind automatically doesn't flow to the Lord. For example, after Harina, you know, we may go through Mayas, and in the Mayas there will be one nice jacket. Then we will say, Abhi Harina, Abhi, I have done Harina. Now, nice jacket, tomorrow I will go and buy. Next day in Mayas. Right? So that is our life. Right? We are here also, we are there also. So therefore, the mind appreciates the Lord is the center of all activities, but it doesn't naturally flow. So therefore, because it naturally doesn't flow, it has to be guided. For example, you know the chariot, Krishna is there, Arjuna is there, where there is a... The horses are not just like that. It's not that one horse is going... Actually, the horses are shown in different directions, if you see. One horse is facing here, one is here, one is here, one is here, one is here. But what is there in between? There is a guided. So therefore, the senses will take us anywhere. But we at least come to know through Pancharatrika Vidhi that the senses have to be bridled. And we know how the senses have to be bridled. It is not enough to know that the senses have to be controlled. We have to know how to control the senses and actually we have to start practicing. So Pancharatrika Vidhi gives us a regimen of practice of how to control the mind. Now, in English it is commonly said an idle mind is a devil's workshop. Right? For example, most of the thoughts of doing some illicit activity comes when the mind is free. When the mind is occupied, usually in office, one doesn't think of, you know, illicit activity. Because your mind is, you have got sales targets, you have got revenue targets, productivity target. Where is the question of, you know, you thinking anything else, right? So your mind is less likely to focus on something else because you are busy. But when you come home and you have nothing to do, then what happens? Then you say, oh, let me watch something. Because the mind is idle, there is nothing to do, bored. Therefore, the mind then goes to Vishaya. Vishaya means all these plans for sense and gratification. The mind starts assisting you. You have worked so hard. After all, you are working 12 hours a day. You need some relaxation. See a beautiful lady. Relax.
The mind tells you all these messages.
And then you also think, yeah, after all, I worked so hard. Now I deserve some enjoyment. I deserve some relaxation. Go and take that bottle of wine. Just forget yourself. All your problems. Enjoy. So the mind tells. So if someone doesn't know, now the mind is giving me dangerous vision. First of all, we should know that the mind is giving us a dangerous vision. Otherwise we think, my mind is so kind to me, you know. Always it gives me pleasure. Maja. Such nice suggestions my mind is giving me. So wonderful. It's my friend. So first we have to have knowledge that your mind is your enemy, sir. It's not giving you the right information. Right. So first, that knowledge. So Pancharatrika Vidhi, Vedas Pancharatrika Vidhi give us the knowledge at least. And that is the interface of intelligence in the mind. How do we accept that knowledge? Through our intelligence. And then the mind takes it from the intelligence. Oh, this is not good. But then it is not enough to know that these activities are forbidden, therefore I should not do it. Because unless you have some positive activity, the nature of the soul is to always be active. So, it is not enough to artificially abstain from negative activities. We have to know what are the positive activities and engage ourselves in positive activities. Because somehow time is there for us. So we have to engage and utilize this time constantly such that we are so busy that the mind doesn't disturb us. The mind doesn't have time to talk to us and we don't have time to talk to our mind. We get involved in this activity. So the acharyas have given us Pancharatrika Vidhi, which is what? Getting up early in the morning, doing our chanting, doing our deity worship, right? Cooking for the Lord, going to office and working for the Lord. Many of us cannot connect our professions to our Krishna consciousness. But actually when we go to office, what is the mood? We all want to do a good job because we are taking a salary. It's our duty to do a good job. Otherwise they will say, what you call yourself devotee, you are taking salary, not delivering anything. You know, that's a completely wrong propaganda of Krishna Bhakti. In fact, devotees are all who are very good at their jobs. So we do our jobs, but how we do our jobs, we don't get too attached to the results, and when we even get a reward or recognition, we don't think that we are the doer. We clearly understand that it is he who gives the results. Karmane vadikarshe ma phaleshu kadachana. Devotees know, have this knowledge. And why do we do our jobs? Because our job helps us maintain a Krishna conscious family. We don't use our money to buy a high density television so that we can watch Fox television and cricket match all the time. We use our money so that we can use it in propagating Krishna Bhakti, because it needs money. Krishna Bhakti propagation needs resources. So therefore we use and dovetail our money. Through our money we buy a house, we buy a nice altar, we worship the Lord with Bhoga, we spread the message of Krishna consciousness, which also needs money and resources. So we buy books, we give books to people, we call people home, we give them prasadam, we engage in cultivation, in bringing people to Krishna consciousness. So where will the money come from but for that job? So in that sense, that job becomes the means for us to do our service to Srila Prabhupada's mission. So as long as we are in this consciousness, the whole day, whatever we are doing, we are in Bhakti Yoga. When we come home, then we affectionately deal with our wife and our son. We take responsibility of the houses, doing the utensils, cleaning the house, whatever. We do it why? Because we know the house is a temple. It's not that I keep my house clean so that when my friends come from, colleagues come from office, I can impress them. Oh, what bedroom you have, fantastic. You know, where did you buy this paint? You know? So devotees are beyond this consciousness. The whole idea of calling anyone to our house is to demonstrate that you have a lifestyle which will deliver you from this samsara saga or this material world. So Pancharatriti Vidhi and Bhagavad Dharma together give us a regimen, a daily routine which we follow, which keeps us safe though we are engaged in the activities of the material world, pretty much like everyone else is doing. They are also working, we are also working, but their consciousness is different and our consciousness is different. Their purpose of working in material world is different, our purpose of working in material world is different. Their goals out of life are different. Our goals out of life is different. So, Bhagavad Dharma. So, having done Pancharatrika Vidhi, where we are now forcefully bridling the mind, eventually by such regulation and control, the mind naturally will now automatically start flowing towards
Krishna
at some point in time.
So that is Bhagavad Dharma. That is what Bhagavad Dharma is. Bhagavad Dharma is a pure consciousness or focusing on the Lord in its natural spontaneous form of attraction and affection.
So initially we struggle to artificially develop affection for the Lord because we don't have that affection. We have forgotten that.
So through Pancharatri ki vidhi, the mind is guided, our senses are engaged in serving the Lord,
and by such sincere service and endeavor, the Lord reciprocates with us and awards us with His love and affection. And then we move on to the spontaneous platform, which is Bhagavad Dharma.
So these are some of the characteristics of the mind. Now the relationship with intelligence. Intelligence is what gives us knowledge. Now, whether or not, now what is the main knowledge that we have with us, which we didn't have many years ago? Three things: Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. SAP, right? Sambandha. What is Sambandha Nyan? Sambandha Nyan is who am I and what is my relationship with the Supreme. I am spirit soul and my relationship is being servant of the Supreme. So that is who am I and what is my relationship with the Supreme. So we all understand that. When we read Bhagavad Gita, this is something which anybody will know. Second is, what is the goal of life? Which is called as Prayojana. The goal of life is to develop unalloyed love for the Supreme Lord and live with Him in eternal service in the spiritual world of Vaikuntha. That is the goal of life. Again, no devotee will dispute that. This is also very clear. Now, if I have to love the Lord and develop that prem, right now I am struggling with lust, anger, envy, greed, pride, illusion. I am struggling with all this. And you are telling me I have to achieve that goal. So how do I do that? That is called as Abhideya. There is a process which will take us from this lusty condition to that condition where we can get out of this material world. Because with this baggage, we can't enter that aircraft. That Vaikuntha airplane does not allow this extra baggage of lust, anger, envy, greed and pride. So therefore, we have to have a process. We have to follow the process. So, through our intelligence, we try to understand the scriptures which give us that process. In Kali Yuga, what is the process of attaining love of God? There is only one process. Sankirtana. Chanting the holy names of the Lord. You can chant Om Namo Narayana if you like. You can chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. You can chant Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama. Right? You can chant Govinda, Govinda, Govinda. Or you can chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare
Rama.
But you have to chant. And this is something which any religion does. Jesus Christ also said, My Lord who lives in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So he also talked about Naam Sankirtan. Prophet Muhammad also talked about the same message. Allah ka naam lo. If you go to Gurudwara, they will also tell you, take the name of Hari. So there is no difference between any religion in this matter. So it is not some Hinduism that we are talking about right now. It's not some Indian religion. The principle of chanting the holy names for emancipation or deliverance is universal. Okay, so the process is universal. Yes. There is still a difference as to why, what is the difference between chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra and chanting Om Namo Narayana. That is where the principle of Rasa Tattva comes. So as long as you want to worship only God as God and you are His servant, then Om Namo Narayana will do the job for you. But the moment you want to rest, enter into the inner chambers of God to play with Him, like the Gopas played, or to chastise Him like Mother Yashoda did. You want to have a motherly relationship with the Lord, or you want to have a relationship as the wife of the Lord. Like for example, in Sri Sampradaya, there was Andar, whose Tirupavai we sing usually, you know, in this month. So, if you want to have a wife of the Lord, if you want to get closer into the inner chambers of the Lord, then that is when the Hare Krishna Mahamantra comes into picture. And that is what Srila Prabhupada meant to give to the West. Not that it is being taken up very nicely in India also. In India also, no one is. To tell someone, have you read Bhagavad Gita, the first thing they will tell you, I mean it. But if they say, did you watch the latest Bahubali movie or something like that? Ah, dekha, dekha. Bahut busy hai, time to nikala padta. India match is there, no? I am very busy, but India, Pakistan, I have cricket match is there. So I have time. But if you say Bhagavad Gita, do you want to read? No, not. Very busy. Busy with material. So this is the problem. So, through this intelligence, we come to know what is the goal of life. Through the scriptures, we know what to do to attain the goal of life. And then, using our mind, we try to control our
senses.
Instead of the senses directing the mind and taking us anywhere we want, then a mind which is purified then reins the senses back with intelligence helping it with their knowledge. So that is the interaction. Otherwise, intelligence in itself has got nothing to do with attachment. Intelligence has got, it is mind which gets attached. It is not intelligence which gets attached. Intelligence has got nothing to do with attachment. Intelligence job is only to discriminate what is conducive for my life and what is not conducive for my life. What is conducive for liberation and what is not conducive for liberation, that is what intelligence can do. But acting on it, getting attracted to the objects of this material world and getting attached to the various objects of this material world, like the Maya's handbag, it is the job of the mind, right? So, following one's material desires, that is where the mind comes. Now, when I was young, I went once, my father took me to one place called Panchgani in Maharashtra, it's a hill station. So he said, let us all go and relax for 1 week. So I said, let's all go. So we went there. I was just out of my teenage and something like that. So I heard one song there. It was a kind of a song goes, Main to un santon ka saath jinhone man maar liya. I explain, this is Hindi. I am with those saints. Main to un santon ka saath. I am always with those saints. Jinhone man maar liya. Who have killed their mind. I like that song very much. So for many years, I start singing that song. But when I studied Bhagavad Gita, I realized that these are all speculative songs. It may sound very spiritual. That's because somebody with a beard is singing it. Okay? But there is no masala in this. There is no meat in this. There is no substance. Right? Because the mind cannot be killed. Lord Krishna is telling, Arjuna is telling, Chanchala e mana Krishna is telling. Did Lord advise him? Kill your mind, oh Arjuna. Where is it said? We can't kill the mind, right? Suppose we think, kill your thoughts. Some philosophies also tell, kill your thoughts. No thought may enter your mind. How is it possible? No thought may enter the mind, that thought itself is entering the mind. That also is a thought. So how can no thought enter the mind? Suppose I tell, don't think of a monkey now. What are you thinking of?
Monkey.
Do whatever, don't think of monkey. Monkey you should not think of. Anything you think, no monkey. Big monkey will come and you think of.
Go ahead.
Like that. So therefore, there is no question of man mar liya. It is not possible to kill the mind. So this is another very fundamental aspect. So bhakti is not about convincing the mind artificially, oh dear mind, renounce this, renounce that. Not possible. It is not possible. You can't control or kill the mind. Mind's job is to give you suggestions 24 hours a day. It is like that server which doesn't require disaster recovery. It will never go down anyway. 24/7 it has got battery. It will keep on working. Okay. So it will keep on giving suggestions. So the mind can only be channelized. That's all. The mind cannot be controlled. It can only be channelized in the service of the Lord. We can't give up eating. If I say, no, give up eating and then we'll go back to Godhead. No. It's not required also to do that. The mind cannot be told, oh mind, though you are attracted to the opposite sex, don't get married. Because married life is Maya. Married life is not Maya. Our acharyas have also said that. The greatest grihastha is here. Mm-hmm. You know, Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, you are all grihasthas. Right? So married life is not Maya in any sense. So it is about dovetailing everything. Whichever varna, whichever ashram we adopt, if we know the principles through the intelligent and through the mind, then we try to control our senses and dovetail it towards God. That is how we can purify the mind. So, through intelligence we understand sambandha vidhaya prayana. Through the mind we try to attain that. We channelize the mind in that direction. So, in Kali Yuga it is mentioned that the only way of controlling the mind, there is no other way. Somebody may tell, come to our center, you know, we switch off all the lights and then, you know, we just put one candle in the corner and just breathe like that. After some time, what happens?
Snoring
will start. Everyone wants a good time, sleep. I remember once my aunt herself told, you know, like that. She went, I went to this something, I don't want to name that, okay? I went to this center. Rumbarana Adhula. Very nice it was. Tamil. English. Very nice it was. I said, what you did? First class, beautifully, you know, there was some incense. Darkness was there. And then after the bottom, everybody was silent. First class of tungi na. I slept nice. First class sleep I I said, you like it? Very good experience. Then I said, why, what happened? In the house, television is loud. Children are always asking, give me tea, coffee. No, the office, phone call, cell phone, nothing. Everything is nicely dark. Now, is this self-realization? There is nothing but relaxation. That's all. You can call it as some people call it as transcendental relaxation. Transcendental means that which you have otherwise never experienced in this material world. But this is not transcendental. You are still experiencing some lack of unhappiness. That's all. So we have a very relative concept of happiness. Lack of unhappiness means happiness. Lack of misery means happiness. So here it was lack of misery. But in the absolute sense, are you happy? No. It's just that some disturbance wasn't there. So therefore, we have to understand all these techniques are not going to work, control our mind. Because what happens, even after you sleep like that, when you come out, and then what happens? When you come out back into this material world, happens? It says, and India, it's the last over, 10 runs to win, Virat Kohli is on the one end, you know, some cricket match is going on. And then you will start associating that I am an Indian, India has to win. Why do you want India to win? Because you think that you are an Indian. If you think spirits are out of the matter, who wins? Right? Everyone is a soul there, right? At the end of the day, what is there? There is one ball which they call as some wooden piece. It is being hit by another wooden piece. 50 people are running out of it. Right? And there is a Coca-Cola, there is some cheerleaders. So the material world gives you an illusion to think this is the goal of life. And this is real happiness, entertainment, watch, enjoy. But actually it's all illusion. There's nothing in it. 100 years back, this sport was not even there. A man was still happy. 100 years back, we didn't have channels, television channels. Man was still happy, right? So, the material world traps you into newer and newer ways of thinking how this is your goal of life, right? So, whatever meditation we do, when we come out into this material world, it immediately maya chavadi as it. It captures us and it tells you, come on man, now you did nice meditation. Huh? Half an hour, you are a good boy. Now come, enjoy that. But what if I enjoy and get frustrated? Again, go back. You have the meditation center. Go there and again sit in the dark light. That way you keep on oscillating between something and darkness. Right? So, but the intelligent man will understand, I just want to get out of this whole cycle. And the Acharya say, Harayar Nama, Harayar Nama, Harayar Nama, Iva Keva. The only cure is chanting the holy names of God. Now, chanting also, how do we know? First we have to get knowledge. First we have to come to the class, the temple. Only when we come to the temple, we will know that chanting is the cure for the Lord. The cure for our mind, disturbed mind. So we have to get the knowledge. But sometimes, many times, people come to the temple, they hear this and then they go back and do whatever they are doing. Right? That means you have the knowledge, but you are not putting it into practice. If you are not putting it into practice, then you will never get realizations out of that process. Right? If I give you a mango, and if I tell you mango is a very nice fruit, and then you say, yeah, mango is a very nice fruit, and you write a very big essay, persuasive text, on how the world must eat mangoes. Fine, that's good. Your text may get you a PhD. But have you eaten the mango and tasted it yourself, first of all? When you eat it, you will get realizations out of that mango. Right? Then you will become the biggest evangelist of that mango. You will say, you know, I have tasted mango here, you also tasted it. A fantastic fruit. Like that. So, unless we start chanting in our lives, we will not get the initial conviction that chanting works. It is not going to happen. Unless we get the conviction that chanting works, we will not be attracted to the process of chanting. Why are we not attracted to the process of chanting? Either because we have not started chanting, or we are only finishing our rounds and not chanting at all. As long as we finish our rounds, we will not get attraction to the holy name at all. Few days back, I was listening to a class by one of my godbrothers, who is a very serious chanter. He was saying that, why do people commit suicide in this world? People commit suicide in this world because they don't have hope of any shelter. Whatever they thought will give them shelter, their relationships, their money, bank balance, nothing has given them shelter. So they commit, they want to end their life. Even existence itself is a problem for them, right? So, he says that the only true shelter that we have in this world is what? The holy name of the Lord. All other shelters are infallible soldiers. In the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Parikshit Maharaj is asking Sukadeva Goswami, what is the duty of a man about to die? What he says, Deha Patya Kalatra Adishu Atma Sanyeshva Sattvapi Tesham Pramato Nidhanam Pashyan Apina Pashyati. He says, if you are thinking that your body will save you, your bank balance will save you, your wife will save you at the time of death, your parents will save you at the time of death, your children will save you at the time of death, sorry, I have a bad news for you. You came earlier, you are coming earlier. Right? So these are called as infallible soldiers. And then he gives the solution. Etam nirvitya mananam ichchatam akuto vayam yoginam nirpananitam harayar nama anukitram. The only thing that we can save us is the... Sorry. So the only thing that can save us is Harinam Sankirtana. But because we are not used to taking shelter of the holy name, we are only used to compliance chanting in our life. We are only completing our round somehow. We are chanting anywhere and everywhere. We will chant while driving, we will chant while lecture. Why? Because we want to finish that activity. We want to multitask somehow that activity and we want to finish that activity. And then we are very happy putting the bead bag on that nail. Done. Chanting over. Over. So it is only compliance. Like we are just ticking a box. But that is not going to be enough. Just like nowadays, even in corporate, like customers are very demanding. They say, if you have only met your service level agreement, why should I give you more business? What are you doing to delight me further? They are asking. And the whole corporate world is running around that. How to delight, add more value to the customer. So similarly in chanting, if we are only ticking the boxes of 16 rounds day in and day out, that is just, maybe it will give us some anartha nivritti, maybe it will reduce our karma. Definitely it will. Chanting dissolves our bad karma and good karma as well. Okay. But we will not get Krishna prem unless we take ashraya of the holy name. We will not get true shelter. The holy name's purpose is not to become karma free. Okay? Because even by going through our prarabdha karma, we can become karma free and not like doing more sins. The goal of the holy name also is not only trying to come out of our bijam, phutam and just developing the good qualities. The goal of chanting ultimately must lead to love of God. If it doesn't lead there, then we are not really taken through shelter of the holy name. So, we get this knowledge when we come to the temple. By initial practice, we see it working, then only we will get conviction. When we get conviction, by doing it properly, then we get attraction. When we start feeling the Lord in our life, then we will start getting attracted to the holy name. Otherwise, no, we do not attract. And then when we start getting that attraction, then we will start developing contemplation on the Lord all the time. Who are we thinking about? In our teenage years, we always should meditate on our girlfriend. Correct? Nobody need to tell us, can you please meditate on that? No. Sometimes mother will ask, which subject you are studying? One physics, what you are thinking, girlfriend. Correct? So the mind is automatically attracted. So nobody needs to tell us. So when now we substitute girlfriend with Krishna. Right? So when we get that attraction from the Lord, nobody needs to tell us to be attentive. The mind will automatically think of Krishna only. Like gopis, they struggle to forget him. We are struggling to remember him. Right? So that is the stage of contemplation and comes to the Lord, then we cannot but remember it. And then when that attachment comes, then there is a need to interact. So when the thought of girlfriend comes, what do we do? What time can we meet? The plans are started there. So like that, then the gopis will plan to meet Krishna. Okay, let us go. He is going to come now with fear in the forest. Let us all run. Like that. Even in Tirupavai, you know, that Handal, she is telling, Margari Tingal Madhinirendrana. It's a very famous Tamil song. So she says that, oh Sakhis, please come my dear cowherd girls, that Lord Ranganatha, who is Vishnu, who is Krishna, he has come to the fields, let us all go and now meet him. So that is how the mind will take. You can't forget that Lord. So, but we can't attain that stage of love of God if we are averse to the process. If I say, no, my grandfather has told me, I will follow family process. God knows where the grandfather is now. Right? So we cannot understand spiritual subject matters just because grandfather told or grandmother told or uncle told or aunt told. We have to study the scriptures. There is no other way. Yes, if our grandfather is speaking from Srimad Bhagavatam, no problem. Right? Or if grandfather is speaking from a bona fide version of Bhagavad Gita, no problem. Right? If the grandfather has invented his own Bhagavad Gita and says, I am speaking from my own Gita, then we have to be careful. We have to tell my dear grandfather, I love you. Please take this Bhagavad Gita. So I will help you. You pray for me also. So therefore, we have to really understand that the only way of mind control is acceptance of Shastric authority, following it, realizing, deriving realizations out of that, experiencing in our life and then progressing in our bhakti. Otherwise, there is no other way. Otherwise, the symptom of a conditioned mind will always be to criticize and complain. These are things that mind constantly does in our life. So mind is used to comparing, complaining and criticizing. So unless we bring this mind under control through our devotional process, then we will always, we will see that we are succumbing to these three habits. Even in devotional life, because our, to the extent that our chanting is improper, we will always find that we are comparing, complaining and criticizing. So even after coming into bhakti, sometimes after many years, we are not tasting that which we are meant to taste in bhakti. So the acharyas have cautioned us against this, against these anarthas overcoming us even in the process of bhakti. And they have also given a cure. They have said that our comparison with others, it comes because of greed. Why do we compare? The mind's job is to compare, right? Mind is always torturing us with these three things. Comparing, criticism and complaining. Now, it is said that when we take shelter of the holy name, the reason why we compare ourselves with others, which is what? Greed. Greed is the reason we compare with others. He has more than me. Why I cannot have? He purchased house in Pura. Why I am living in St. Gilda Rest? Right? So this is comparison always. Why Guru Maharaj garlanded him? He didn't even look at me. Right? Why Guru Maharaj looked at him and said, good job. I was also doing it. Nothing happened. Why he only went to drive Maharaj in the airport? Why I am not being the driver? Right? So many things. Why that Mataji only always is cooking for me, you know, whenever this Prabhuji comes? Why I am not cooking? So this is called as comparison. Because we are not relishing the holy name. We want so many other things to keep us happy in bhakti. The holy name is not enough for us. That means we have not taken shelter of the holy name. Taking shelter of the holy name means trying to derive all our spiritual needs only from the holy name. And that is good enough. We don't need other extensive things. Yes, services must be done. We must cook for Maharaj. But if we don't get that opportunity, we work hard to get that opportunity. But we don't envy others who get that opportunity and complain. Because that envy is not a spiritual envy. That is simply a material envy. Because services to spiritual master also gives some kind of a position to us in the congregation. Right? So, sometimes our reason for serving spiritual master may be just so that we can become the go-to man. Our reason for developing excellence in bhakti may be the reason that we want to be recognized as the best in that service. So that everyone unanimously votes us as the single point of contact for spiritual master. But actually our goal is not to serve the spiritual master. Our goal is to serve our false ego and be in control. And control everyone. By our, everyone should act under my direction. When our Maharaj comes. Not like that. So really we have to question our motives at all point in time. Now why that happens? Because we are not relishing the holy name. If we relish the holy name, such a person will never, you know, in that lecture, that person was telling, usko zindagi mein kisi cheez se lena dena hi nahi rahe ga. Which means such a person will not have anything to do with anything of this world. He can sit 25 years, 30 years in one corner in Vrindavan temple and continue cutting sabzi and just chanting the holy name. People may not even know his name. They will know that Prabhu. Like that. So that is actually the substance. Because now you are completely relishing the holy name so much, you don't require anything extensive to give you that satisfaction. Otherwise, so till the time that our mind is not controlled through the process of attentive chanting, our mind will continue to drag us here and there. So that is the only cure. In conclusion, controlling the mind is only possible through the process of attentive chanting. Otherwise, our senses will keep on dragging. So here, Prabhupada is saying, however advanced the man is in academic qualification, as long as he is not fixed in Krishna consciousness. Now, fixation in Krishna consciousness is what? Is in the stage of Nishtha. Unless we don't come to the platform of Nishtha, we will simply accept and reject and will never be able to fix our mind in any particular subject matter. So therefore, chanting has to be taken as a very serious process. Otherwise, there is no question of mind control. And when we take to chanting very seriously, then we will see the impact of chanting in our lives. What is the verse? Yes, yes, the bhakti bhagavata kinchana sarvaya gunaya tatra samasate sura. Harav amakta kuto maha guna manorathena sati vata 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 vata. So, when we take to the process of sincerely chanting the holy names of the Lord, it is said that the holy name will purify our consciousness so much that all our bad qualities like lust, anger, envy, greed, pride will go flying out of the window. And therefore, when those qualities go out, all the qualities that are in the demigods, Devi Devatas, will dawn manifest in ourselves. Right? Whereas for a person who is not chanting the holy names of the Lord, that person, it is said, Mano Rathvinana Sati Dhavatobe. Mano means what? Man. Mind. Rath means chariot. He will just go around in the chariot of his own mind, rejecting, accepting, without knowing the goal of life, nor knowing how to get out of the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death. So in Sambha Moolam, these are few aspects of the mind. We will discuss more of the mind in the next few verses, and also from slowly from mind, Kapila Muni will now start also explaining intelligence, the various aspects of intelligence. That will be there in the ensuing verses. So I'll stop here, it's 9 o'clock, and ask if there are any questions, comments or corrections before we wake for Prashad. Yes,
The body, material body, can be compared to the computer. We have in the computer, we have also perceiving senses. We have scanners. We have touch screens. We have you can use microphone, and everything is processed by the short-term memory, and many things they are stored into the hard disk. So also the mind has its own short memory, which needs processing what's going on at the moment. And whatever is stored into the computer as a hard disk or samskaras, this is in the material physical body. And then there is intelligence part of the mind of the programs inside, which tells you, are you sure you want to delete this program? Are you sure you want to store this program? This is the feature of the working of the mind. And the mind usually, the short-term memory, which is actually, it works on same principles. And the programs stored in the computer are based on copy of the person behind the computer. And the soul, the person behind the computer is actually soul. And sometimes we can leave the computer running, and the person can fall asleep behind the computer, and the computer can run, download whatever wants, do whatever wants, and the viruses can come with association with other computers through servers and other stuff. So just a comparison how it's really similar. So if the person takes charge behind and knows the programs in the computer, that's the soul, knows how the computer works, he can control what the computer does. But someone who sleeps behind the computer can't control it.
Very nice example. Yes.
You were saying that if we take the process of chanting seriously, then we will stop that portion of the mind of accepting and rejecting. Is it,
yes.
Is it not always there? Like,
the process of accepting and rejecting?
Yeah, or should we strive to get to that point that we are doing and accept?
We will automatically get to the point. We need not try to get to the point. Because by chanting attentively, automatically the process of acceptance and rejection of the mind will go away. So Srila Prabhupada said that when we take to devotional service, the contaminated mind is dissolved. There will be no existence of such a mind. When we are talking about this mind is talking about the material mind. This material mind gets dissolved. If you remember, at the time of death, what is the phenomenon? It is the subtle senses, mind, gross body is anyway gone. In the crematorium, they will bury us, or they will cremate, whatever. Okay, so what is death? Death simply means that the soul, along with the subtle body, mind, intelligence, possible, goes and takes another body. But when that subtle body is dissolved, then the soul doesn't have to take another body. Then it goes back into its original spiritual consciousness. So the mind which is being spoken about here is the material mind. So it's the material mind which is accepting and rejecting. The spiritual mind is always dovetailed with Krishna only, with Aniruddha. So that spiritual mind doesn't have anything to do with, there is acceptance and rejection comes only in a world of duality. But in the spiritual world there is no duality. There is only oneness of purpose. Does it make sense?
Part of surrender is accepting, rejecting, everything in relation to Krishna. So this is spiritual and material is spiritual mind is accepting and rejecting in relation to Krishna. What Krishna wants me, what should I accept, what should I reject, how can I serve me? So we accept and it's part of surrender. So that spiritual mind is material mind. If I'm also accepting, rejecting, but not for me, but for the pleasure of Krishna.
So, but still, there are still two aspects. Accepting something, what is called as nishedha, and what is the other one? About the two sides, pravriti and nirvriti, if you like. Okay. But that duality is only in this material world. That duality doesn't exist in the spiritual world. So, I just add to what Mataji is already. That doesn't exist there. So, there, in the spiritual world, there is no dichotomy. Should I serve? Should I not serve? Is this acceptable or not acceptable? That dichotomy is not there in the spiritual world in the first place. Because everyone is a devotee only. So that phenomenon is only in the material world. Therefore, you have to use the material mind and intelligence to accept and reject, purify that. To such an extent that it becomes irrelevant to us. Because there is only oneness of purpose. Which is your swarup, siddha swarup, which only flows towards Krishna. Nothing else. So our whole existence is only for Krishna's sake. So there is no question of anything else at all, which we have to accept or reject. Mataji, you have a question?
I'm afraid that material can be, is there spiritual envy also?
But the word English envy is a very imperfect word to describe that. It's called as tatra lolyam. It's called a spiritual greed, actually, in one sense. So it is there. So that is a greed to serve Krishna. For example, there is always a competition between Chandravali camp and Radharani's camp, Lita's camp. So that is a transcendental greed.
So can you explain on the yoga ladder? Like you were talking about nishtha and the attraction. Do you have that yoga ladder?
Okay. In one sense, it's not a yoga ladder. It is a ladder of progressing in bhakti.
Yeah.
Yoga ladder is comparison of other processes of yoga with the process of bhakti. That is called a yoga ladder. For example, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, karma yoga, ashtanga yoga, bhakti yoga. That is yoga ladder. But your specific question is within bhakti, what is the ladder? So within bhakti, the first stage is shraddha. Shraddha means faith. That faith may not be solid faith. It can be loose faith also. For example, we always give the example of a gymnasium. When we have to go to the gym, we go to the gym to build our strength. But to lift that weight, to build our strength, we need some strength. Otherwise, we'll collapse directly. Right? So that is that initial faith called as shraddha. Where you know that, yes, there is a God. Most people don't even have that faith. They think that everything came from Big Bang. But when you ask them where are the chemicals for Big Bang, they will not be able to answer it. Right? So, when we see natural phenomenon in this world, we will get faith in God. When we put food in our mouth, that's all we can do. How nicely it goes through the whatever the alimentary canal or whatever into the digestive system. So, if initially to people, when you just start thinking about this body, it's a wonderful machine. No company has created it. Right? Right? And through this body, everything else is getting created. So how great is this body? Whatever man has created is through this intelligence. Who created that intelligence? So even a fool will understand there is some higher truths than myself. Right? So that's Shraddha. Then we need to... Then how does that faith become solidified? By sadhu sangha, by associating with devotees. A man is known by the company he keeps. If we associate with drunkards, we will become a drunkard. Correct? If we associate with womanizers, we will become a womanizer. There is no doubt about it. Okay? Then, through association with devotees, then we will become a devotee. But the choice is ours, to or not to. Right? So, Shraddha Sadhu Sangha. When we associate with devotees, what will they tell us? They will not tell us, okay, come, let's all watch movies and enjoy our Saturday and Sunday. Right? Correct? So, they will tell you, come to the temple, attend the morning program. Morning program is very beneficial for the soul. Right? Attend the morning program, take prasadam. So we will, by association, we will get instructions from the devotees. More than instructions, we will get facilitation. We become friends with devotees. It's very important to have friendship with devotees. Right? So that happens in sadhu sangha. Devotees will enlighten us. And then devotees will facilitate our process, our journey. Devotee is not that, oh you chant, see you later in the spiritual world. It's not like that. When you connect with a devotee maintains his connection with you. Because a devotee's only goal is, how can I help this person come out of the cycle of birth, disease, old age, and death. Devotees don't make friends out of people to use people for their personal. In corporate life, you usually, hey, I want to catch up with him, man. Why? This bloke is, you know, he's got some good contacts, you know, in Westpac Bank, so I can also further my business interest. So it's always like that. Every relationship you want to do, why do you, I want to meet the top man. Why? I want to tell him that I have not got promotion for so many years. So if I connect with him, maybe have a coffee with him, then I can tell him, you know, that this year I want to get. So every single interaction in office is because I want something. But an interaction with a devotee has got nothing. Like when we go to a devotee only wants to give. He doesn't, he's not interested in taking something from you. And that is why the devotee relationships are beautiful. Right? So sadhu sangha. The devotees will tell you what? Bhajana kriya. They will tell you to start chanting the holy names. And then when you start chanting the holy names, then you will have difficulties. When you start chanting, it's not going to be easy. You will have difficulties. You will say, oh, my mind is wandering. Oh, how to do? I have, you know, so much office work also. I said, do devotees not have office work? Do they not have family life? So devotees have gone ahead. You are treading the path. So they will tell you how to balance this both. Very effectively. How to balance your material responsibilities, how to balance your spiritual responsibilities, right? Because if we have to be in this world, we have to make money. So no devotee is going to tell you, renounce everything, go to the forest, thou shall not make any bank balance. No. Nobody, even I will not do bhakti. If I was told like that. But Prabhupada never told us that. He said, yes, you have to do your duties. Yes, you have to make your money to sustain yourself. Go to the job, do a good job. But that's not the goal of life. Right? So doing that, how to still do your bhakti. So that is like a sadhu sangha and an association. So gradually when we follow that, then our impurities will start going out. For example, once upon a time, I thought, you know, without cricket there is no life. But the same cricket match for which I can even give my life, like I used to jump from a running trail also in the platform so that I can rush home and watch that last over. Regardless of the fact that that is dangerous, jumping from a running trail, right? We used to run and cross the tracks even when the fast trail is coming. Because I want to watch that Sachin Tendulkar scoring his century. So much, my life was cricket like that. But now when you look at that cricket, you're thinking, what is this? So what is the change? That game is the same, but your attraction to the game has reduced. Because you have got something higher in your life, right? It's simply a pig. What does a pig eat? I don't know how to describe it. Yeah, right? And what does a human being, rasgulla? Now if you give a pig a rasgulla, a pig's consciousness is not evolved to understand this is something higher, but it is being given to me. It will still go and eat the stool only. Right? So therefore, by association with devotees, that process of anartha nivriti, of leaving the lower tastes and going to the higher tastes will start. Now when you start getting a higher taste, when you start feeling that bliss in spiritual life, only then you will become consistent in your practice. Consistency will not come without success. Right? When you consistently work in office, when you get reward and success, similarly in spiritual life, you will see the rewards of spirituality manifesting in your life. And then you will become consistent in your spiritual life. Then nobody needs to tell you, have you chanted your rounds? Even if you are down with jaundice and you are dying, you will say, death, please wait, let me complete my rounds. I have to chant the holy name of the Lord. So that is called as consistency, nishtha. Now when Bhagavan, when the Lord sees that sincerity and that consistency, then he rewards you with taste. Because right now, you are doing things not out of taste, but because you still want to escape the material world. But when the Lord, for example, you are eating watermelons because the doctor has prescribed, you are eating honey because the doctor has prescribed honey for your cold. But at some point in time, when your cold goes away, you get so attracted to honey that you will take honey for some higher purpose. Because you just like the place. So like that, we start chanting the holy name of the Lord. That is called as taste. When that taste starts dawning also, that is called as a ruchi stage. Okay? Then it becomes asakti. Then the taste becomes attachment. For example, I like mango, I have a taste for mango, that is called as taste. But I cannot live without mango. And then when we come to that stage, then Krishna starts revealing himself. That is the time when we start having darshan of the Lord. The Lord comes and gives us his darshan. That is called as bhava platform, or the platform of ecstasy, where you are seeing the Lord's pastimes. It starts coming in front of you. And then final stage is called as prema, where you are not only a passive observer, you are not relishing in ecstasy, but you are entering that pastime, Leela Pravesh, and you become a participant in the Nitya Leela of the Lord. That is called as Krishna Prema. Of course, the Prema has got several rasas within it and all that, but that is roughly the cycle. Anything else? Radha Srimad Bhagavatam ki?
Jaya!
Bhagavatam ki?
Jaya!